This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Well, you recall on yesterday's program, we talked about the prospects for a self-driving car. So let's continue our conversation about the future of personal transportation. Writer Mickey Maynard is looking at what's happening all over the country in terms of how we're getting from point A to point B, and she sees big changes on the way. Mickey is the former Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times, and she's authored four books, including The End of Detroit, How the Big Three Lost Their Grip on the American Car Industry. Now she has a new project in the works, a proposed ebook she calls Curbing Cars. Mickey Maynard joins us now in the studio. Welcome back.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
So we have spoken to you on Stateside before about what you see coming down the road in terms of personal transportation. So what's the story that you want to tell with Curbing Cars?
The story that I want to tell is why people are driving less and why we're rethinking the way we get around. So it used to be that the only way most people got around was either their car or maybe they took a bus or public transportation. We don't have as much of that in this listening area.
But if you live in Chicago or New York, you totally understand that.
Exactly. And one of the things that I think I'd like to point out is that this is something folks have noticed in the younger generation. So in high school kids, college kids, people just graduating, you know, car ownership among what's called the millennials is way down. But there's also another factor, which is the underrun of the market among baby boomers. People are selling their big suburban houses and moving into the city. And when you move into the city, you probably have one parking space. So you're maybe not getting rid of a car completely, but you're have a smaller fleet. And then you also might take a bus, or if you live in Chicago or New York and San Francisco, you can jump on the subway. So everyone is thinking more about their personal transportation needs.
So even though the old model, the traditional model of someone getting into a car, one person, and driving, that seems to be the big baby boomer bubble, doesn't it?
It does. It's baby boomers, their parents, and a little bit of Gen X, because we had a lot of folks who had children and bought minivans and small SUVs. So,
but then you move to the younger crowd.
Lower, and then folks rely on their bikes. People walk. People use skateboards. And the interesting thing is to look at the number of young people who are not getting their driver's licenses. Because if you don't get bit by that car bug before you're about 20, it's going to take a while before you have the money and the time to be interested in cars.
So what do you think this means to automakers and especially to the economy here in Michigan?
This is the big question, because I don't see the car going away. I don't think the Detroit companies are necessarily in trouble from this, but what it might do is limit their future growth. So let me give you an example. Back in the last decade, before we got into the recession, people were saying we were headed to sell 20 million cars a year, probably by 2010. The recession came along and we went from about 17 million to about 9 million. Mm-hmm. So we're building ourselves back. Mm-hmm. We're getting back to about 15 million, which is called trend in the auto industry. So 15 million is healthy, but we're nowhere near 20. And what I think is going to happen is we could bump along about where we are for the foreseeable future.
And that's what I was wondering. How far or how near into the future do you think this sea change is going to be happening?
One of the interesting things about this millennial generation is how big they are. Some people think they're as big or bigger than the baby boomers. So you have a situation where the big blob of folks, you know, in their late 40s and up, we're still going to be buying cars. Mm-hmm. But everyone expected that our kids would come along, graduate from school, and follow us into the car market. That's not happening. And what I'm interested in seeing is, when do those folks buy cars? Is it late 20s, early 30s? Do they wait even longer? Do they not even bother?
And we're seeing things like Zipcar. And then we were just in New York at the end of May, and they had just launched the bike sharing with their city bikes. Am I right? That has just exploded in New York.
Right. So City Bikes has only been around for a couple of months, and they've already recorded about 1.5 million rides. It took the system in Boston is smaller. They just got to a million after 2 years. Now, the big, big leader is Paris. So Paris is where all of this started back in 2007. They've recorded 173 million rides. There is one rental bike for every 97 people in Paris, and that compares with one for about every 8,000 people in New York. So just think of where Paris is and where our American cities are, and we have a great big mountain that we can climb, but the opportunities are endless.
And explain how it works for those who aren't familiar or didn't hear about this, this bike sharing and with city bikes.
So in a lot of places, what happens is you can buy an annual membership. So for example, if you buy a membership in Chicago, it costs you about $75 a year. And then for that, you get half an hour free. So if you want to ride from, say, Navy Pier over to the Loop, you jump on a bike, you either have a key tag, like the kind that opened your car, or you punch in a code. And you get on a bike, you ride it over, you drop it off in a bike rack, and you're done. So for your $75 a year, you've gotten 30 minutes on a bike at any one time. If you want to ride it a little longer, then you pay by the hour. And then for tourists or visitors, you pay about $7 or $8 for a 24-hour pass. You get that 30 minutes free, and then you're paying by the hour again. Obviously, you know, they've got your credit card, and so if you run off with the bike, you're going to have a $2,000 bike. So it's probably not worth it to take the bike home. But some places are actually subsidizing this. So the program in the city of New York is a joint venture with Citibank. The one in Chicago is run by the Chicago Department of Transportation. San Francisco Bay Area is just about to get a bike share plan that goes from Oakland to San Francisco all the way down to San Jose. And there's something like five governments involved in this. So as the governments figure this out, it's becoming a perk for their citizens as well as visitors.
Now, I think programs like that would work in your New Yorks and your Chicagos, but here in, let's say, in Michigan, let's talk about Southeast Michigan.
Sure.
We're all sprawled out, so don't we have to have our cars?
Well, the cool thing about it is that Dan Gilbert in Detroit literally just started a bike sharing program free for his employees. So if you work for Quicken Loans or Rock Financial, you can ride a bike sharing bike for free. Now, I think there's going to be a little bit of envy by people in Detroit who are watching all these Quicken people zipping around Detroit on their bikes. So that's a corporate perk. So sure, a lot of us have to commute to work. A lot of us drive 30 miles, 45 miles into the city. But once we get to the city, say you work in the GM building and you want to ride up to Comerica Park. What if GM had a program, or what if there was a city program? You know, but maybe you take the people mover, but maybe you're ready for a bike ride. So it could work that way.
That's writer Mickey Maynard. You can learn more about her project at curbingcars.com, or you can follow at curbingcars on Twitter. Mickey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Cindy.